I'll share the story. What it was back when I was a young lad in my very first radio job, you had to produce and voice your own commercials, unlike now where it's a lot easier and better. But what I would do is we had a production suite, if you want to call it that, and I would wait till one of my buddies was voicing his commercial, and then I would barge in, kick the door in, grab the microphone, haul it down to my nether regions, and let a big fart go on the mic.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of my thing, like, very funny, right? So
yeah.
So then they had a collection of them. It was an audio file full of my farts. And the challenge was, I dare you to put one of those farts into a commercial. So what I did is I took one of the farts and I slowed it down.
Oh.
And put it into a monster truck commercial.
Get ready, Brandon.
So there it is.
Monster truck.
Oh, man.
Jay, one more time. Because you can hear it kind of brrr. One more time.
Get ready, Brandon. Killer American Mercury and the Bear Claw Casino present the Outlaws of Motorsports.
There it is.
He had some Creole mushroom soup that day, clearly. Yep.
Monster Trucks brought to you by My Hoop. You don't do that kind of stuff at ESPN, I'm guessing.
No, many thoughts here. One, remember Howard Stern? He once said he wanted to make a film called Fart Man. And when we were currently in an era of all these superhero films, he wanted to have a Fart Man, a guy who was powered by his own flatulence. Hopefully that film will get made one day. And also, that story about you recording the farts, Tim Kirchen tells the story in his book. Thankfully, Tim was not the one farting, but Kent Herbeck, one of the old Minnesota
twins, yeah.
He would make a recording of all of his farts. And think about it, he's playing in the 90s. It wasn't as easy now with iPhones. But he would be around a campfire, have some beans, like Blazing Saddles, and like he had just, to him it was like a symphony, all of his farts.
I love Kent Herbeck. Had no reason to before. Now I'm a big fan.
Top five.
Yeah. Great guy.
So speaking of music, you guys played some country music coming in. Sorry, I have one more for you.
All right.
Golic and Wingo today, our poll question, ESPN Radio, was what's better, country or rap? Like, I don't even know why they said, let's just go in this direction. But country music won 63%, which I'm guessing for the good people of Calgary would also be the same. But, I mean, talk about two differing types of genres as it can get.
Yeah.
Country and rap music.
Yeah, it seems like a weird comparable. And it might surprise you, because every time I play country here, there's a lot of people that like it, but most just bellyache. Oh, stupid country.
There's no shortage this time of year, you'd understand, Adnan. Everywhere you go, it's being blared at 11 on the stereos.
Yeah, the stampede right now. You're right, Pinder. Yeah. It's just out of control, I'm sure. Jason Aldean, guys like that.
Love it.
So the horse ride, a cowboy, all that.
All right. So is Manny Machado going to be a Yankee? You got to let me know here. What's going on?
It's not going to happen, Boomer. Here's a few reasons. Right. One, they already got a pretty good shortstop with Didi Gregorius.
So he's going to play third.
After a great first month.
He's going to play third.
You're right. You can always move him around. As I was saying, I always hate that logic. We already got a guy. Well, trust me, if you got a superstar in Manny Machado, we'll figure it out. We'll move some people around. Two, I don't think Cashman's the type who will give up a lot of players for a rental. He's not big on that. But to that point, they could just sign him in the offseason. So I don't think they won't make a trade for him. I don't think that's happening at all, because he just doesn't like the idea of, let me give up something for a guy that I can get for free, player-wise, in a few months. So not right now. It's not imminent. But he's going somewhere. There's no question. And Machado knows that, whether it's the Diamondbacks, whether it's the Dodgers. The Dodgers is interesting because, of course, they don't need a shortstop. They've got Seager, but he's out for the year. So if they do think they can make a run here and get back to the World Series, then what the hell? Go for Machado and just get him for a few months, and maybe you can sign him in the offseason. Maybe you can't. The one I want to see is the Cubs, just because I think that Bryant, Machado, Rizzo, 2-3-4 would be like the most electrifying of my generation. Like, I think it would just be bananas every time you see those guys. And it would clearly give the Cubs enough to beat the Brewers in the Central.
It's funny because I've got some buddies that they like baseball, but it's too soon. Like, it's summer. It's not even All-Star break. It's too hard for them to pay attention and kind of absorb what's happening. I wonder if you were to tell them that Arizona, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Philadelphia were all at the top of their division in the National League, they'd be floored. It's one of those seasons so far.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was looking the other day. This is why I love when the All-Star Game rosters get announced, because you're right, Boomer. For a lot of people, maybe they're watching hockey or basketball or just, you know, busy doing other things. So now maybe they're paying more attention to baseball. They're going, wait, what? That guy's an All-Star? That guy's having a good season? So I think it's fun because you get to have, and like you said, I never disparage them, just casual fans or maybe baseball isn't their thing. But now they're kind of paying attention a little bit. They go, oh, so what's going on here? So I always find it nice. You get to kind of re-educate people what's happening. The good news is that, particularly in the American League, you've got those super teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mariners, the Astros, and then the Indians. But the problem is, for the rest of those teams like the Jays, you know, what reason is there to pay attention now for the rest of the baseball season, aside from being sellers and trading some players? But you're right, in the National League, those are legit situations. Those teams aren't going anywhere. Like the Braves, I think, could win the East, but there's no doubt about it. It's going to be them, the Phillies. And the Nationals have really been struggling until they had the players-only meeting, which seemed to spark them a little bit. More on that in a second. The Brewers are good again for the second straight season. They've got tremendous power. They got a great bullpen. And then the West, the D-backs made the playoffs a year ago, but they're battling with the Dodgers, and that division just isn't very good. The point of players-only meetings, by the way, and I'm curious for both of your takes on this, Ryan and Boomer, I think they're the stupidest thing in sports, and I'll explain why. These guys are with each other all the time. Okay, all the time. You know how players, I'm like, God, you can never get away from each other. That's why I can never be a professional athlete. I just don't want to be with these people all the time. You take the morning flight, you go for breakfast, you go to the park, you have BP, you play the game. After the game, you got to go on the plane again. Like, it's, you're always with these guys. So why do you need to have a players-only meeting? You're always with each other. You could just have very easily just told the manager, hey, get out of here. Tell a couple of coaches, hey, beat it. We want to talk. But they love to hype up these players-only meetings and then go on a run. You know what the key was? They're playing the Marlins. The Marlins stink. So, of course, they have a players-only meeting before games they could win. Earl Weaver, the great Orioles manager, used to hate players-only meetings for that reason, or any type of meeting. See, because he goes, hey, if I have a meeting to sit down the gauntlet, what if we lose? Do I have another meeting? It's stupid.
No, what? Hang on now, because the Cubs famously had that that players-only meeting before their World Series in what, decisive Game 7? There was a rain delay of some sort. Is it Wrigley? Wasn't that the case? Come on now. You got to give some credit.
That's different. No, Peter, that's different. That was during the game after Rajay Davis had hit the home run to tie it, and then the rains opened up, and Jason Hayward had to get a meeting to fire up the troops. So that's different. That's in-game, hey, let's focus. Even though that's a little overrated, because I asked David Ross, who was, of course, part of that team, and I said, what did Hayward say? Was it the greatest speech ever? And he goes, no, it was good just to kind of like, hey, guys, don't get too damn. I'm like, what? Like, that was the speech? Like, I'm expecting fire and brimstone. He goes, it was just like, hey, guys, let's just focus. I think whenever they mention these speeches, they get overblown by the media. I really do.
Better athletes than public speakers, probably, these guys. That's fair to say.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's JFK, Lincoln, Obama, those types of rhetorical skills. I think they're just kind of, hey, boys, let's put it together. Let's get going. Come on, let's go. Like they said, the story of the Nationals players-only meeting is that Scherzer was particularly animated. Listen, I love Scherzer. He's one of my favorite guys in the game. I think he's going to win his third straight Cy Young. But he's always animated. Like, what does that mean? He was particularly animated. Like, that's just who he is. Like, what was he, screaming at guys, grab them by the shirt collars? You'd better win. Like, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Max.
It's like saying Pinder was particularly animated, and really just
doesn't really mean much.
Day that ends in Y. I wanted to ask you.
What if you guys just felt like the shows were slumping a bit, and Boomer called the players only meeting? Like, are you a curse? You're like, what, are you serious? Like, management's not involved. Like, no, players only meeting. We're going to figure this thing out. Yeah. Like, okay, have fun with it.
We're in the room together for 4 hours a day every day. I feel like we talk enough. It's probably good enough. Last night, the Marlins beat the Brewers in 10, and I saw a video of this before first pitch. I made a note. I wanted to check it. The attendance at that game, 5,996 at a stadium that seats, what, 40?
And it's brand new.
How's it going, Derek Jeter?
Yeah, it's appalling. And listen, I'm sure you as a Jeter fan, Yankees fan, are either dismayed to see it or maybe just amused by it all. But it's crazy. Here's the only part of that I look forward to, is if Jeter is actually vindicated. Because it's a completely horrific situation, right? The team's awful. Nobody shows up. Nobody wants baseball there. So he walked into a situation that's always been bad and made it clearly worse. And he's lost the PR battle in multiple ways. I just read an article the other day, the Christian Yelich trade, just how bad it's been for the Marlins. Mm-hmm. Yelich just got named the All-Star team for the first-place Brewers. And the Marlins' return back was terrible so far. So, like, he's getting fleeced all over the place. My only hope is in 3 or 4 years, what if Jeter's right? What if the few guys that he picks up, what if the prospects he was looking forward to, what if the guys that they sign end up being stars and they lead back. Then it would be one of the great transformations in sports, Derek Jeter as successful executive. It's incredibly rare that a player does it. See Michael Jordan, what a disaster he's been. Magic Johnson is trying to rebuild the Lakers. Now he's got LeBron, but he's never been a guy who's successful as he is off the court, as he is on the court. So you're right, man. 6,000 people. It's the thorn in Rob Manfred's side. You know, next week, and I'll be in D.C. at the All-Star game, and he'll do his best to avoid any questions about the Marlins.
That is Montreal Expo numbers. Like, that is back to 04. I mean, in a new park.
Yeah, but you know what? Jeter comes in there. He trades Stanton. He trades Yelich.
Well, they were garbage before. I get right? Like, it's not like they were well-run before Jeter even. I'm kind of on Adnan's side. Like, he's acquired an asset that has, like, no brand value. They've screwed up so much around that thing.
Yeah, I think, but to your guys' point, that's Expo's numbers. Like, think about the Rays. The excuse is always, well, the park stinks. Right? Or you could always, well, the trap's brutal. I mean, it's Tampa, the park's good. You guys are right. That's a brand new park, man. I was there last year. I mean, it's not really my thing. I just think it's too wacky and tacky. But it is brand spanking new. I did not feel like I was in an old, dilapidated building. I was like, oh, cool. I got this crazy sculpture. And yeah, it doesn't feel like baseball, but it feels like a spectacle. And nobody cares. Like, you get, it's the summer, man. Like, it's so hot outside Miami. You don't think $10, take the kids, go see a game? Nah, pass. That's a concern.
Before we let you go, Adnan, I'm a sucker for movies that have The Rock in it. That said, this weekend he is in a movie where he has one leg and is jumping on skyscrapers, and it feels like I can watch a movie about dinosaurs. I feel like this one's too much of a reach for me.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Rampage doesn't look like another winner there for The Rock. But I do love the story about the Fast and Furious spinoff, which just sounds completely like the original. I mean, normally you think the spinoff, there's going to be something original to it. But no, it's pretty much the same story. And The Rock's in it, and Idris Elba, a very good British actor, is going to play the villain. It's interesting. I didn't even realize this, Boomer. I don't know enough about the action movie genre, but The Rock and Vin Diesel hate each other.
They do.
Like, there was a great article in Vanity. Those guys despise each other. So the fact that now The Rock is trying to go after Vin Diesel's franchise here with a Fast and Furious spinoff, very interesting territory here for The Rock.
Jay wants me to ask you about Ant-Man. He went to see Ant-Man this week.
Yeah, I was disappointed. Small scale, even by Marvel standards, pun intended. I saw the first one, and I kind of liked it because it was different. I'm like, you're used to always bigger, better, stronger. And here's a guy that can shrink. And Paul Rudd's obviously a very likable guy. Big Kansas City Royals fan. Tough year right now for Paul. But I thought it was very generic and repetitive. And listen, I'm not expecting much anymore with superhero movies. But I went in there and I was kind of bored. And I said, all right, there's another one just mailing it off the assembly line of this summer of sequels. What did Jay think of it?
Jay, what'd you think of it?
Meh.
There you have it.
Meh.
He gave it a meh.
Yeah.
And that's about as animated as Jay gets. Yeah, that's Jay really kind of stop yelling, Jay, please, with that meh. Have a great week. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Jealous, going to the All-Star game. That's a fun one, but we will catch up then. Anything else going on? What's up for the next week for you?
No, I was going to say, I'll be heading to D.C. It's, you know, celebrity softball is the game. It's the fourth straight year I'm calling it.
Nice.
Jamie Foxx is in it. Shaq is in it. And Tim Kirchen is in it. I know, Boomer, you've said before what a fan you are of his. Tim is the best. He's 61 years old, and he's playing in celebrity softball. He has a tremendous arm for a guy his age. He's 5'4 and a half, but I think he can rake. It'll be on after the home run derby on ESPN, so hopefully TSN will pick it up, and you guys will be able to see it. But seriously, he's going to be the All-Star Game MVP. He's going to be unbelievable.
Sportsnet, yeah.
That's fine. I love Kirchen, one of the nicest guys in the world.
He's incredible, man. Like, they were doing the Pirates game last night, and Josh Harrison has shown him tips, and, like, they're mocking him. But I'm like, no, Tim is amazing. Like, I can't think of anybody else his age who's that spry, who loves baseball that much. Like, he's got the perfect combination of not taking himself too seriously, but loving what he does.
Good stuff, Adnan. We'll talk in a week, buddy. Thank you, as always.
All right. Thanks, boys. Take care.